Bible somewhere because I'm going to be all over it today. Seriously, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be in Galatians 5, verses 16 through the end of the chapter. Galatians 5, verses 16 through the end of the chapter. Funeral I did for my brother Thursday was interesting. I preached it in a mausoleum. It's the second one I've done. The first one I did was for his wife in the same mausoleum. And I guess they decided because we had done her funeral there. We did that because of the bad weather, snow and ice. But they decided to have his there. And it was interesting. It was different, but thank the Lord it went well. And some decisions were made for Christ. We're in chapter 5, verse 16. Familiar verse. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And let's pray. Father, how thankful we are for this blessed book. Thank you for the principles and precepts that you've laid out for us. Thank you that it's a guidebook for our lives as believers. It's a beacon of light to the lost on how to be saved. And Lord, it's your love letter to us. The revelation of yourself to us. And now this morning we look to this particular passage and know that you want to speak to us from it. You want us to see the truths and the principles and the precepts you've included here that it might help us, those of us who are believers, to live better for you, and those who aren't believers to see their need to come to Christ. I pray this morning, bless this time we're going to spend, and use me as a tool in your hands. And Lord, as this message is preached, speak to hearts. Move in the hearts of your people, and move in the hearts of the unsaved here, that your work would be accomplished, your will would be done in every heart and every life. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Title this, A Strategy for Victory. A strategy for victory. Most people do not like conflict. Most people desire to live in peace and tranquility. Now, there are some who, on the other hand, seem to enjoy conflict and fighting, but those really are a very small minority. In my life, it seems to me, I reckon that people, by and large, don't like conflict. Really want to live in peace. Now, sadly, we oftentimes find ourselves involved in conflicts and battles of one sort or another. It may be we have conflict in our families, maybe in our job, maybe with our neighbors, with our friends, on and on we could go. Again, we would much rather live in peace than to be caught up in a battle of some sort. In our text for today, the Apostle Paul writes concerning a battle every believer has to fight. And this battle is a spiritual battle. This battle is a fight over how a believer is going to live. Whether as a believer I'm going to live in obedience to God and to please God, or whether as a believer I'm going to live to please my flesh and myself. This battle Paul talks about here is certainly not a new battle. This battle originated in the Garden of Eden. God put Adam and Eve in the garden and gave them access to every tree in the garden except for that one tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Along came Satan, and we know the story. He tempted Eve. But the Bible says that Eve looked on that and saw that it was good. She looked on it and her flesh desired it. And so she partook of the forbidden fruit. Now from that point to today and onward, the battle is on. The fight has begun. Would she, in that garden, had stayed away from that fruit, we would not have the conflict we have today. But she failed. And as I said, from that day to this, the battle rages. Will God's people follow Him, be obedient to Him, or succumb to the flesh and allow the flesh have its way? Today, every believer is in a battle, a spiritual warfare. And this battle, this warfare, has to be fought in spiritual power. And the key to winning this battle every day is laid out here by the Apostle Paul. And really, it's a very simple strategy. He gives it in summary in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're in a battle, folks, every day. I found this picture. Now look closely. This fellow's victorious, but notice the black eye. Notice the little of blood. See, he's been in the battle and he's taken some hits. But he won. Listen, we're in the battle and sometimes we take a hit. I don't know about you. I want to be victorious. I'll take the black eye. I'll take the bloody lip. But when all's said and done, here's where I want to be. And today we want to talk about that. Let's look at the passage and notice some things from this passage. Notice, first of all, there's a definite problem revealed here in verses 16 and 17. He says believers there are in this constant conflict we're talking about. You see, as believers, we have two natures. If you're saved, you have two natures within you. If you're unsaved, you only have one. If you're unsaved, listen, if you're unsaved today, you only have the old nature living in you, which means you don't have spiritual life, you don't have spiritual power. All you have is the old man, the ways of the old man, the attitudes of the old man, everything about the old man. If you're saved, the minute you got saved, you received a new nature. You became a new creature, God says, a new creation. And so now within you, there's two natures. An old nature, flesh, a new nature, the spirit. So the believer has these two natures. Now the old nature wants to please the flesh. The new nature wants to please the Spirit. You know, I've used this example before. Some of us old fogies remember the cartoons. How many of you remember when cartoons were cartoons? Porky Pig and Bugs Bunny and Huckleberry Hound and, oh, I long for those days. But oftentimes, when they wanted to show the battle between good and evil, they'd show a little angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other. Well, there's a lot of reality to that. Because we have the flesh over here pulling us this way. We have the spirit over here pulling us this way. Every day. I used to think and say, as soon as your feet hit the floor in the morning, but I found out it's even before that. I'll illustrate it and prove it. You wake up, and it's time to get your lazy carcass out of bed. And your flesh says, stay a little longer. Huh? Oh, I got stuff I got to do. I got important things I got to do. And the flesh says, it'll be there when you get there. And the spirit's saying, get your lazy carcass out of this bed and get where you need to be. It's the fight. Flesh against the spirit. And it's all day, every day. We have to fight this battle. Old nature, flesh. New nature, new man. Now the two natures within the believer vie for this control. And the flesh, the old man wants to follow, or the old man wants to follow the flesh. And that means the old man desires everything. Listen. The old man desires everything that is ungodly and wicked. You getting that? I'm going to say it again. The old man desires everything that is ungodly and wicked. The new man desires everything that is godly and right. Okay, so we have that settled. Now we're in this battle. The old flesh, the old man, wants to live like we used to before we got saved. How many of you remember before you got saved? You know what I'm talking about. The flesh, the old nature, is constantly seeking to control our lives. The flesh wants us to yield to Him. And so we're all fighting this battle. Flesh against the spirit. Spirit against the flesh. Now, we actually have three enemies that we have to fight as believers. I've talked about one, the flesh. But we have a diabolical enemy. Diablo. Satan. We have to fight him. I thought about our fight with the enemy. He's the father of lies. He's the great deceiver. He comes as an angel of light. He's the archenemy of God. And he's the archenemy of all who belong to God. That's one of our fights. And then, not only do we fight the infernal enemy, the diabolical enemy, we fight the external enemy. Who's that? The world. We have to fight the world. We're going against the world. I don't know if you figured it out yet, but if you're living a Christian life, you're going this direction, and the world's coming this direction. And I mean, we're constantly, it's like swimming upstream. And we're fighting against the current all the time. Listen, recently we've had rulings in our country about the homosexuals and the bathroom issues and abortion and all those kind of things. And everything that's come this way has been against us. And we're going the other direction. So we're in this fight. Number one, we're in a fight with the devil every day. We're in a fight with the world constantly. But then the third enemy is the internal enemy. And that's the flesh. You know, I thought about this, these three enemies. I thought about the attacks of Satan. And I believe this. I believe his attacks come and go. Amen? Seems like sometimes he's all over us and his minions, you know. It seems like sometimes they just, I don't know, went on coffee break or something. You get that little respite. And then I thought about the world. Again, the opposition from the world can come and go. For instance, we're in here right now. We're not having opposition from the world. That's a great thing about coming to church. By the way, some of you ought to do it more often. I say that. Yeah, you can come Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and it's a little respite. See? Because we try to keep the world out. So when you come here, we don't have to fight the world. We get a little break. So the devil's attacks, I think, come and go in the world. But listen, the one we're talking about, the battle with the flesh, it don't ever quit. It's constant. Every minute of every day, this flesh wants to rule. And every minute of every day, the spirit wants to rule. And we have to make up our mind who wants her. Now, we understand the internal enemy. It's our flesh and our old nature. Satan's attacks come and go. World's attacks come and go. But our flesh is all the time. Now, we need to understand that it's our own flesh that surrenders to the temptations that we have to face. Sometimes we want to blame Satan, sometimes we want to blame the world, but here's a fact. I want you to look at James chapter 1. Remember, we're talking about this battle, James chapter 1. James had a little insight here. See, we need to understand that when we lose the battle, it's our own fault. He says there James chapter 1, 14. Wrong page. He says this. In 13 he says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Drawn away. Pulled away. That's what it means. I checked on the exact meaning of the word. It means to be pulled away. And so every man is drawn away by his own fleshly lusts. And then enticed means to be allured and baited and a trap set for him. Listen. We have a flesh that wants to do its own thing. It wants to go its own way. Far too many believers are letting the flesh win the battle. Far too many believers are allowing the flesh to call the shots. You see, we're in this battle, but we as believers must learn to deny the flesh. We need to learn to walk in the Spirit. And you know, when you read that verse 16, it comes down to this. It's an either-or situation. What do you mean by that? Either I'm going to walk according to the flesh, or I'm going to walk according to the Spirit. There's no middle ground. See, you're either going to go this direction, or you're going to go this direction. There's no. You see, if you're not walking in the Spirit, automatically, you're walking in the flesh. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're. I don't know if I said that right. If you're walking in the Spirit, then automatically you're not walking in the flesh. If you're walking in the flesh, then automatically you're not walking in the Spirit. Either or. The black man said, "You is or you ain't." But see, here's what a lot of Christians want to do. They want to try to walk middle ground. Don't work. And they convince themselves, "Well, I'm not really walking in the Spirit, but I'm not walking in the flesh either." Yes, you are. If you're not walking in the Spirit, then you are walking in the flesh. You need to understand that. There's a war going on. There's a fight. Paul wants us to understand it. Somebody said the Christian life isn't a playground, it's a battleground. And too many Christians are losing this war. We need to understand it. Now, there's a dangerous potential that he brings out here. Verses 19 through 21, we've read this. And he goes here and he tells us that the works of the flesh are evident. He gives these following here, the listing here. And this is that which following or yielding to the desires of one's flesh is going to bring about in a person's life. Now, I don't know about you. I read that list. I say, wow. That's awful. That's terrible. But here's the thing. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you may be living in that stuff. That's what Paul wants us to understand. These are the things that the flesh is capable of and involves itself in. Now, the believer who's living to please the flesh is capable of any and all of the things Paul lists here. See, that's the danger. I want you to hold your right hand up like this. Help him to know which hand is his right hand. You got it? Take your left hand and pinch the skin on your right hand. That's your flesh. See? That's what you're living in. And this flesh is capable of any sin that Paul has listed there. You say, but I'm saved. You're still capable of any sin Paul has listed there. We need to understand that. Now, let me move on. It's interesting how Paul really has kind of categorized sin into three areas here in these verses. First, he talks about sexual sin. Oh, look at America today. We are absolutely bombarded with things of a sexual nature. Advertising, government. I mean, just every time you turn around, there it is. And our society now worships the body. We do. Your size and shape often determines how people evaluate you. You find somebody who's the perfect height, the perfect weight, and all that kind of thing. You know, people kind of gravitate towards them and they think well of them. And then you find somebody who's maybe not so proportionately, you know. And of course now the nakedness in America. Trying to expose as much of the body as possible without getting arrested. I don't know if you can get arrested anymore for exposing your body. I'm serious. You know, when these queers have these lesbians have their thing down in, I know they have one in Philadelphia, some of the big cities, they have their rallies. They run around half nude. Nobody arrests them. But you know, we're bombarded by it. The TV programs anymore, you know, all these sitcoms and things, they got involved. Magazines, even the daily newspaper. Advertisements. Yeah. You say, what do you mean they're advertising? I've said before, the pictures that the stores send out advertising women's lingerie, so to speak, in my day would have been pornography. I'm serious. But now, you know, it's just out there. Let's look at what Paul says that the flesh is capable of here in sexual sins. He says adultery. Christians can commit adultery? Yeah, I know some that have. Yeah. Same people. I'm going to go a step further. I know preachers who have gotten caught in adultery. That kind of blows your mind, doesn't it? But see, here's what happens. Christians, whether you're a preacher or a missionary or you know, a Sunday school teacher or whatever you are, you're a Christian, but you get to where you're not reading your Bible, you're not praying, you're not walking with God, and pretty soon your flesh takes over. And pretty soon you succumb to the desires of the flesh. You get around somebody, you get alone with somebody. By the way, married people ought never to be alone with other married people other than their mate. Makes sense to me. But, you know, I knew one preacher. He's in heaven now. This fellow was pastoring, and he was doing a good job, man. He was doing a good. They built a new building and stuff, and I mean, he was just doing a great job. And next thing I know, somebody calls me and says, "Brother so and so had to resign." I said, "He didn't." They said, "Yeah." He got involved with his secretary at the church, and they took off one day. And the amazing thing is, they got down the road a little ways, and they decided, "We can't do this. This is wrong." And he turned around and came back. But he confessed his sin to the church and resigned and went on. And boy, that devastated his church. But this is a preacher. How can that happen? He quit walking in the Spirit. Can Christians commit adultery? Oh, yeah, they do. But listen, a fellow don't get up from reading his Bible in his prayer closet and go out and commit adultery. By the way, if you get word I'm carrying on with my secretary, it's absolutely true. Amen. I'm going to run off with her on Thursday. Adultery. Can Christians do adultery? Oh, yeah. You get walking in the flesh. How about fornication? You don't even know what that is. Well, let me give you a real simple definition. All manner of deviant sex outside of marriage. Picture a big umbrella. All right? God's already identified adultery. That's between two married people. Breaking marriage vows. Now we come to fornication. Put every other kind of sexual sin under that umbrella. People living together, shacking up. Christians do that? Yeah, I see it all the time. Living together without being married. See, our society says, hey, that's no big deal. You don't need a piece of paper. God says, if you live together and engage in physical relationship outside of marriage, it's fornication. Other things like homosexuality and getting involved in pornography and all the other perversions, pedophilia, and we could just go on and on about all those other Christians. Can Christians do that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had a man walk in my office one day, sit down, confess to me he was homosexual. Yeah. Had another guy come in, sit down, confess to me that he had been going to the adult bookstore and buying just illicit material. Christians, can they do that? Yeah. When they're not walking in the Spirit. How about some other ones here? He says, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. What are those all about? Lasciviousness is absence of restraint and indecency. Uncontrolled lust. Uncleanness is just plain moral, immoral activities. You get the picture. And Christians get involved in all that stuff. Why? Because they're not walking in the Spirit. They're losing the battle. They're letting the flesh control them, and they're doing these things to please their flesh. Well, then he goes on. He says about spiritual sins. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. All right, let's look at the spiritual sins there. Idolatry, witchcraft. Boy, oh boy, Christians can get involved in that kind of stuff. I've said many times, I'm sure none of you go home and bow down to idols. But Christians erect idols in their life. I've known Christians whose business became an idol. What do you mean? Well, they put it ahead of God. I've told you about the one fella that was with Pastor Vidin at Faith Baptist Church. He had a business. When he first got saved, there was just a small business and doing okay. And pretty soon it started to blossom and bloom. And pretty soon, you couldn't see him at church. He was too busy with his business. And he began putting all of his time, all his effort, all his energy into his business. And he made his business an idol. And I'll tell you what, it cost him in his life. It cost a lot of different things, but one thing it cost him, it cost him his business. Because one day, he called Pastor Fredette in the middle of the night. He said, "Can you come? I'm down here at my building, and my building is burning." Hey, you know, sometimes when you put idols in your life, God's going to have to remove them. Whatever it is you idolize. "Well, I idolize my job. You know, my job's become everything to me. More important than the Lord, more important than church, more important than serving God, more important than my Bible, more important than witnessing. My job's become everything to me." Hey, God might have to take that away from you. And put in whatever you want to put in there that's become an idol. Sports, hobbies, money, clothes, my house, my car, whatever it is. Christians have idols in their life. How about witchcraft? No Christian would ever get involved in witchcraft. Well, witchcraft refers to occult. How many Christians get their palms read? How many Christians want to go to have tarot card readings? You say, "Oh, a Christian wouldn't do that." Oh, yes, they would. Yeah. How many Christians go by their horoscope? See, that's all occult. How many Christians play around with a Ouija board? Hey, young people, you listening? Ouija board loves to get a hold of young people. See, you know, they get enamored with this stuff. Witchcraft. Christians capable of that? Yeah. Yeah, when you quit walking in the Spirit, you'll fall for about anything. Spiritual sins. Called a woman. Horoscope. Tarot card reading. And then he talks, the third thing he talks about is basically social sins. Hatred. Variance. Emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and of such like. Boy, what a list that is. See, Christians are capable of all that. Hatred. You know, as Christians, we're not supposed to hate. We're supposed to love. Now, it's okay to hate sin, hate injustices and those kind of things, but when it comes to people, we're not supposed to hate people. We're supposed to love people. Now, let's take it down where, hey, cut it out, knock it off, or I'm going to have to take you out of here. The homosexual crowd, we're against it. We don't make any bones about that. We're slap against it because the Bible's against it. I hate that sin. But I don't hate homosexuals. After that shooting in a nightclub in Florida a couple weeks ago, you remember that? A preacher, I heard him on the radio. A preacher out in California got up and said something to this effect. Good, they got what they deserve, and on and you. That's wrong. Yeah, we hate the sin, but we're to love people. We're even to love our enemies. That's what Jesus said. Christians get involved in hatred? Yeah. Variance, that's contentiousness. Emulations is jealousy. Wrath is fierceness and hot anger and being vengeful. Listen, as Christians, we're never to seek vengeance. God says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Would it be forgiving? Big difference. When we forgive, we don't seek vengeance. Listen, Christian, we're not to try to get even. No, we're to love those who even despitefully use us. But see, these are things, if you're walking in your flesh, it's going to be easy to do. It's easy to want vengeance in my flesh. Let me tell you something. I didn't get saved when I was 25 years old. I spent a lot of time in the streets. I grew up, like many of you, with street justice on my mind. If you did something to me, I'm going to get even. Matter of fact, I'm going to get one up. Amen? Forgiveness, that's for sissies. Hey, you don't let somebody do something to you. Oh, no, no, no. I'll take care of this. And then I got saved. And God began to show me that's not right. That's not how Christians live. God forgave you, and you're supposed to forgive other people. And God gave you a new rule to live by. And that's that vengeance is His. Social sins. Strife. Causing conflict. Oh my, how many churches have been split by Christians? I've been in one contentious business meeting as a pastor. I won't be in another one. I'm not going to have that kind of business meeting. See, because when there's contention in a business meeting like that, and strife, it means somebody's not right with God. See, that comes from the flesh. Some old boy in the church decides he knows what the church ought to do better than anybody else, and he's going to have his way, and he causes contention and strife. He's not walking in the Spirit. He's full of the flesh. See, this is what the flesh produces. Listen to me. Paul's saying walk in the Spirit because this is capable in your life if you're not walking in the Spirit. And I don't know about you. I don't want any of this in my life. This is the last thing I want in my life. By yielding to the flesh, we open ourselves up. And oftentimes, believers find themselves doing things, these things, and committing things they never thought they would do. I've had Christians testify, I don't know how I got where I am. And I can tell them. You followed the flesh. Taking down that road every time. So, number one, we see a definite problem revealed. We're in a fight. And there's a dangerous potential here. If we don't win this battle, we're going to walk in the flesh, and this is what we're going to end up doing. Now, notice this. There's a divine principle given. And that's in verse 16. That's the remedy there. That's the thing that keeps us in the right place. He says, walk in the Spirit. Well, what's that mean, preacher? Walking in the Spirit means, you listen, I'm living in obedience to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. People think, well, this walking in the Spirit, you know, that's a big mystery. No, very simple. To walk in the Spirit means I'm living in obedience to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul gives basically a guarantee. He says there in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and watch the wording now, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let me ask you a question. That word shall, is there any doubt involved in shall? He didn't say, walk in the Spirit, and maybe you won't live in the flesh. Follow the flesh. He didn't say, walk in the Spirit, and it's possible that you might not fall to the flesh. No. He said, walk in the Spirit, and you shall. Man, this is a guarantee. It's like over in Romans chapter 10. You listen to this, Romans 10, 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Any doubt about that? No doubt about it. He who walks in the Spirit shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh. You're battling the flesh today. We all are. Maybe you're here today and you're losing the battle. You're finding yourself acting, and listen, acting like you used to before you got saved. Maybe you're using language you used to use before you got saved. That's not the Holy Spirit leading you to do that. Maybe you're going places. Maybe you're doing things. Maybe you're thinking things or looking at things or whatever that you used to do before you got saved, and you know you shouldn't be doing them now, but you're doing them. That's because you're not walking in the Spirit. See, I made me a little note here. I said to me, the Holy Spirit will never lead us to yield to ungodly, fleshly, worldly desires. Here's ungodly, worldly, fleshly desire. You got it? Right here. They're all right here. Here's godly, heavenly, spiritual things over here. I'm walking in the Holy Spirit. He's going to have me walking this way. He's never going to lead me over there. He's always going to lead me here. When I'm not walking in the Holy Spirit, I'm going to walk over here. That's the principle Paul wants us to understand. We need to learn to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit like we're supposed to. We need to stay close to Him. That's why James said, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. By the way, we have to crucify our flesh. Crucify carries the idea of putting to death. Now please, don't go out of here and kill your flesh. Literally. And then blame me. No, but when the Bible says crucify your flesh, it means to recognize our flesh as being dead and not live for it. Recognize our spirit to be alive and live for it. It saddens me as a pastor to see how many Christians are losing this battle. I've said so many times, and I just said to somebody recently, where is holiness in our churches anymore? Where are the principles that Christians are to separate from worldly things and look and live and act and dress and behave and talk and things like Christians? What happened to that? No, nowadays believers want to look like the world, act like the world, talk like the world, think like the world, and still be saved. Here's what happened. Preachers quit preaching about walking in the Spirit. Preachers quit telling their people, hey, you're not supposed to live like you used to live. You're not supposed to live to please your flesh. You're supposed to live to follow and please the Holy Spirit. Paul said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. We grieve Him when we fail to obey Him. Listen, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm not going to hell when I die. I know that. Thank God. But listen, there's more to it than that. God didn't just save me to take me to heaven. He saved me to live for Him here and be a light and a testimony for Him in this world of darkness. I can't be a light if my light's not shining. My light can't shine if I'm walking in the flesh. The lens is too corroded. Let's wrap it up. We're in a fight. We'd rather not be. Most of us in this room would rather not be in a fight. But we don't have a choice. We're in a fight, devil, the world, but most of all, we're in a fight with Him. It's me against me. It's me, the natural man, against me, the spiritual man. I've got to fight the battle. I've got to win this battle. Because if I don't, I have the potential of ending up over there. In any and all of it. I said, strategy for victory. Wrapped up in one verse. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Let's bow our heads. We're in a battle. The fight is on. Flesh against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh. And we've got to fight the battle. We've just got to make the decision, I am not going to let the flesh win. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I don't want to fulfill the desires of my flesh. I know my old flesh has the same desires the unsaved people have. I know it wants to have its way. It wants to do its thing. It wants to be satisfied. But I'm making a decision. I'm not going to let the flesh run my life.